Brian Kulk. I'm in the commission room, joined by my colleagues Kevin Kramer and Tony Clark. We're here for a informal hearing on case number PU10589, dealing with MDU's filed an application for authority to recover costs related to a Bismarck manufacturing gas plant. So with that, Kevin or Tony, do you have any comments you'd like to add?
No comments, just welcome to everyone.
Yep, just good afternoon.
Okay, with that, it's in my portfolio, but Mike has prepared a memo. We're joined also by Rita Mulkern from MDU, and Ilana is at the table, as well as Mike and additional staff in the room. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead and walk through the memo.
Did all the commissioners get my memo?
Let me back up a little bit here. Rita's giving me that.
I think I got an email with it, and I did read it, but for some reason it's not in my file, but I recall it, and I probably will have a couple of questions about it, Mike, if you don't address them initially.
Let me do this, Kevin. I think I probably misspoke. Let's give Rita a chance to walk through the project first, and then we can then ask Mike for his comments. So I was
sure.
So with that, Rita, sorry about that.
No, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to just briefly go over our filing and what our proposal is.
Sure.
We initially submitted an application for authority for recovery of costs related to the Bismarck Manufactured Gas Plant, or MGP for short, site remediation on September 17th of 2010. And a background on that manufactured gas plant site, the company owned a former MGP site in Bismarck, and the site was investigated in 2006 and remediated in 2007. And it was remediated in order to reduce the environmental risk to acceptable levels to allow Montana Dakota to sell the property. So existing buildings and concrete structures were demolished, two empty underground storage tanks were removed, and the MGP impacted soils and materials were then removed. There was one historic groundwater well on the site, and that was abandoned. And the materials that were removed from the site were disposed of off-site according to applicable regulations. The site was backfilled with non-impacted excavated soil and imported soil and regraded. And then there was sampling done after the excavation to ensure that the site had acceptable risk for future use. After that, the property was sold in 2007. There was a slight gain on the sale, and that was credited to the cost of the project. The total cost incurred were $907,773, and that was all assigned to North Dakota as a North Dakota property. Then after discussions with staff, we filed an amended application on February 22nd of 2011 and revised our requested recovery. And in our revised application, we're proposing to amortize that cost over a 10-year period, effective January 1, 2008. In other words, go back and expense some of the prior years. And that would correspond to the timing of the remediation and sale of property, and that was done in 2007. There will be no change to cost, no change in rates to customers. We will record it as an expense, as an amortization expense, but not change any cost to customers. And if we file a rate case during the amortization period, we would seek to include that amortization as a cost of service item. And so what we're requesting today is that you answer any questions on our amended application and the proposed treatment of costs.
Okay. I guess, is there anything else that you wanted to put out in there for now? That cover everything?
That covers that for now, yes.
Okay. Do you gentlemen have any questions, or you want Mike to give through, then I'll go through his thoughts?
I think we'd have Mike go through the memo. That's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah, that, me as well.
All right. I'll skip towards the bottom of the memo, since Rita's more or less covered those things on the first page. You can tell, by the way, I wrote the memo, commissioners, that I wrestled with this one a little bit. You know, they are 2007 costs, and I was a little worried about setting a precedent of backing up and picking up costs from a long time ago and amortizing them forward. And basically, basically, I can make that argument in the next rate case if you know if I so choose. I think it makes it harder for me to do that. But
and Mike, I don't know if you're cutting out every now and then, or if it's just a little hard to hear you. But do you to be talking to the mic a little more directly?
All right, I'm talking.
There you go.
Okay. Do I need to back up, Tony?
No, this is good now. Thanks.
Okay. So that was a concern of mine, but when we stretched out the amortization period over 10 years, no rate-based treatment, the amount got so small that basically I agreed to support the settlement agreement. Trying to think if there was something else in there.
Mike, if I might, one of the things that when I read your memo, that and maybe I just didn't spend enough time with it, but if you could just briefly explain those revenue situations that you know you were presumed to be one thing, but then for some reason the formula changed, and I even forget what the reasoning was that demonstrated that the revenues weren't quite what you thought they were. Could you just clear that up a little bit for me?
I think maybe what you're talking about is actually on the first page. MDU reports earnings based on, you know, a format that I've established over the years. And those earnings levels were 14% for 2008, 2009. And then after I agreed to settle the thing, they actually reported 19%. Earnings in 2010 based on my format. And then what MDU does is they make some adjustments of their own because they have a difference in philosophy about certain expenditures, all of which have not really been worked out in a rate case. So to me, they're adjustments that MDU believes in, me maybe not so much. Anyway, the MDU...
But the adjustment's pretty significant. I mean, as I recall, the difference between your philosophy and their philosophy results in a pretty different earnings picture. I mean, while it might not be a lot of money on this project, I do think it's something we're going to have to work through. And maybe, you know, maybe it's a rate case that'll have to do that. I don't know. But I had, when I read your memo, I was more than a little bit sort of taken back trying to figure out, well, how can we be this different over philosophy? I mean, it's still real numbers. It's real money to someone.
Right. I've had some discussions with Rita, and if she wants to explain them more, she certainly can. But one of the adjustments is, you know, MDU makes an adjustment to exclude tax deductions for 401k dividends paid to its employees. And the argument is that's a stockholder function, doesn't have anything to do with the utility. Well, that may be a stretching the words that they, but it's a stockholder function, and so you know the ratepayers shouldn't benefit from the fact that we're paying dividends to our employees for 401k deductions or contributions.
Sure. Okay.
And then another one is. Well, that one I guess I kind of agree with. They're removing supplemental insurance, that SISP, supplemental insurance for special people. I don't remember what the last SP stands for, but they're removing that, and that's you know more or less in accord with what we've kind of been what the commission has been deciding
recall,
in order. So. So those are the two big ones. I think there's another one where they adjusted 1 year's revenues for moving margins, revenues less cost of gas, moving margins from a bill to a billed basis rather than a calendar basis. It's a regulatory adjustment they make. And, there's a number of things in here, but, I tend to think that they're best argued out in a rate case. And so as far as when I look at it, I'm looking at 14% earnings in 08, 09, and 19% in 2010. They're saying 5, 12, and 16.5%. Rita, sure. Did you want to add to that any?
Oh, no, I think you've summarized it. I don't know if we're going to get into the details of those adjustments. You think you've covered those?
Okay.
Rita, this is Brian. I just had one question, I guess. Why the delay? Why did you wait so long? I mean, why now? Why not a year from now? Why not a year ago? What made this time the right time to file this back in September?
We initially intended to file it in conjunction with a general rate case. It was completed in 2007, and a few expenditures ran over in 2008. In 2008 is when we acquired Intermountain Gas, and at that point decided to embark on our integration efforts to try to reduce costs at all the companies, make efficiencies where possible. And so at that point, we did not want to come in and file a rate case because we felt we could probably, through our efficiencies, not have to come in for a rate case. At that point, we should have come in and filed for a deferred accounting order. And we missed out on that, did not do that. That would have been the proper step to do at that time. And we went through 2009 then, and then in 2010 did file for recovery of that.
Okay. I guess that was kind of what I was getting to, is the deferred accounting business. Is that something that if we would go ahead and approve this, that we should put in there, is that we would have recommended you do this at some point in time? That's a legal kind of question there, but or does it just put in whatever you want, I guess, at that point? So, okay. That kind of answers your question, Mike, of saying this is what we think you could have done looking back, but then looking forward too.
Commissioner Kolk, I did stick something in there about considering the Senate's order, and I know the lawyers don't like us trying to develop policy through orders. It might be a better rulemaking kind of thing, but I think generally, as long as the companies understand that, you know, if you have a major expense and you want to defer costs for consideration later, you should do it sooner rather than later. The sooner you do it, the better chance that you're gonna get the commission's blessing, I think. This one is, as you've noticed, is a bit of a stretch, but
okay.
That's why we did agree in our amended application after discussions with Mike to start expensing it, in effect, January 1, 2008, as if we had come in at that point in time and done this.
Sure. So 3.5 years' worth of amortization has already occurred.
Correct. Okay. Anything else? Do you gentlemen have any other questions or comments, I guess? We're kind of through here.
I don't. Thank you. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that, I guess we can close the work session, and we'll put it on one of the next agendas. So with that, I'll close the informal hearing, case number PU 10589. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.